This is Ask Hank, where Hank Hanegraaff, the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, takes 3 minutes to further equip you to defend your faith.
Brian in Valencia, California. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I just had a quick question about the woman that Jesus met at the well in John's Gospel in chapter 4.
Yeah.
There's two things. One, usually guys didn't really have any dealings or public speakings with women. And secondly, Jews didn't have connection with Samaritans, but she mentions later on that something about Jacob being her father and that being her well that she was at. Where am I missing the connection between her having validity in her claim stating that was her father's well?
Well, first of all, I think you've assessed the situation correctly. I think it's right to say that there's a point being made here for a Samaritan to speak of Jacob as our father would have been offensive to an ancient Jew who viewed his or herself as the true children of Jacob, while the Samaritans were considered an impure people or half-breeds. You have to remember how they came about with the exile and annihilation of the Northern Kingdom. What happened was there were some people who were left. The Assyrians then repopulated the Northern Kingdom or that territory, and as a result of interbreeding, you have the Samaritans. So from a Jewish standpoint, the Samaritans were considered nothing but dogs. Not only that, but ancient civilizations, including the Jewish civilization, put women on a substandard level. But Jesus Christ, remember, sees things as they are. He is the creator of male and female. He is the one who inspired Paul's words that in Christ there's neither male nor female, there's neither slave nor free, and there's neither Jew nor Greek. So from Christ's perspective, no problem whatsoever speaking to a woman, nor does he consider her anything less. In fact, in his words, he is in essence breaking down all of the stereotypes. Because if you look at the content of what he's saying, she's wondering whether you worship in a temple in Gerizim or whether you worship in a temple in Jerusalem, and the temple, not built by human hands, ironically, is standing in front of her.
For more Ask Hank episodes or for the full Bible Answer Man broadcast, as well as many other resources to defend the truth of the gospel, visit the Christian Research Institute online at equip.org. Do you have questions about the Bible, cults, the occult, world religions, or other related topics? Have you ever been stumped by something that appears to be a contradiction in the Bible? Then you've tuned to the right place. Coming up in just a few minutes, you can hear your questions answered on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Institute exists to provide Christians worldwide with carefully researched information and well-reasoned answers that encourage them in their faith and equip them to intelligently represent it to people influenced by ideas and teachings that assault or undermine Orthodox biblical Christianity. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We do what we do because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to call to get your questions answered live on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. We've been talking about it all month, but Origin, Design, Chance, and First Life on Earth, the DVD by Alestra Media, is absolutely spectacular. The computer animation, the cutting-edge research. Origin uses all of that to examine a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did life on Earth begin? This resource is stunning, and it is available for those who support the ministry all this month. We also have a book available, a book that I probably should have talked about a whole lot more during the month, because it is one of the best books that has ever been written on intelligent design. It's written by Douglas Axe. It's titled Undeniable. The subtitle, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed. One of the things that Doug Axe points out in the book is that of all the controversial issues to come from modern science, none has brought more awkwardness than Darwin's idea of evolution through natural selection. We know natural selection means survival of the fittest, which in one sense isn't all that controversial. Indeed, Darwin's observation that fitter individuals are apt to have more offspring is so obvious it hardly needs to be stated. But how can something with so little content, a truism, if you will, possibly explain the astounding richness of life? The biggest question on everyone's minds has never been the question of survival, but rather the question of origin, our origin in particular. How did we get here? Even if you think natural selection is the answer, you have to admit to a degree of internal conflict over this issue. Francis Crick acknowledged this conflict, at least implicitly, when he cautioned that, and this is a stunning statement by Francis Crick, Sir Francis Crick, I should say, biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. So if Darwin's claim is true, then it's a truth we all find ourselves doubting, at least subconsciously, and if it's false, then we're to be commended for doubting it. Awkwardness clings to it in either case. In fact, though you won't see this in any textbook, Darwin implicitly conceded something that adds to the unease surrounding his theory. All six editions of his book on the Origin of Species include a few paragraphs in the conclusion where he addressed the widespread rejection of his theory by his scientific peers. And then, to Darwin's own great surprise, this near-total rejection of his theory turned to near-total acceptance, and that within just a few years. Now, what could cause such a sudden reversal of scientific opinion? Did a new scientific discovery appear in the late 1860s or early 1870s potent enough to convince skeptics that Darwin was right after all? It didn't. Absolutely not. But if science isn't itself the cause of the change, the question becomes, what was? And whether he intended to or not, Darwin reveals that peer pressure is a part of science. Peer pressure that happens behind the scenes as the various scientific interests compete against one another for influence. As we think more about how science works, we'll see that those rare people who oppose the stream are the ones to watch. Oftentimes, they're the ones that do not have the stakeholder interest in mind, but they're willing to follow truth wherever it leads, and that is precisely what intelligent design is all about. Again, the book by Douglas Axe, it is well-written, it is informative, and it deals with the most significant of all apologetic issues, the issue of origins. One book and a film, two resources available for those who support the ministry. You can pick whichever one you'd like, but both of them will bless you and equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Andy, listening in St. Louis, Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Andy.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've been listening to you for a long time, and my brother got on your show a long time ago when he first got saved, and here I am. That was 20-something years ago.
Wow.
But I have a question for you that actually I debated with him. You know, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And so what I was wondering about the people or the beings that never heard the word, say like the Aztec Indians or the Native Americans. You know, they lived their life and they never heard the word. And, you know, my brothers seem to think that, well, they're just lost souls. And that's according to Scripture. I mean, can you help me out with that?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of things I like to say in this regard, beginning with what Paul said on Mars Hill. I think it really answers the question when he says, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live. And he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, how can he say that? Well, he can say that because no matter where you live, whether you're an Aztec or otherwise, wherever you live, you have the light of creation. Not only that, but God has also designed to put a knowledge of himself upon the canvas of our consciousness. In other words, his knowledge is written in our DNA. So we have a light from without, the light of creation, and a light from within. And if we respond to that light, the promise of Romans chapter 3 is that God will give us more light. In fact, this is precisely what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. He said that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Which is to say, even with the light of Christ, men reject that light, not because the light is not brilliant and compelling, but rather because they want to remain in darkness. So as I like to say, it's never the absence of truth that damns, it's always the despising of truth that damns. And no one said this better than Blaise Pascal when he said that God dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you won't. But he dwells in enough light so those who want to find him will. So the real problem is not a lack of light. The real problem is we are justly and condignly condemned because of our sin. The real question is not how God can send someone to hell, but how God can condescend to save any one of us. And he has done just that. He's revealed himself in creation. He's revealed himself on the canvas of our consciousness, and he's revealed himself in Christ. And therefore, when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and every people and nation, we will not be able to say we did not have light. God's not throwing obstacles in our path. He's doing all so that those who really do want to find him will indeed find him.
Mm-hmm. Even those that were, you know, that never heard the word, never ever even heard of Christ.
But what I'm pointing out is that is a bit of a misnomer. Again, if you're someone who is an Aztec, as you described in the prologue to your question, and you see the universe around you, you can do one of two things. You can start worshiping that universe or recognize that that universe was created by an uncaused first cause. Right. Now, that does not take genius. That just takes common sense. Your
right.
first inclination, if you find something that is designed, even if you're on a desert island, is to recognize that design presupposes a designer. You look at the universe, and the Aztecs had a big benefit from people that live today. They didn't have light pollution. So when you look up at the glory of the heavens, which we now know that perhaps the original estimate of 170 billion galaxies may be very, very small. There are now indications that there might be as many as 2 trillion galaxies. But when you look at the heavens, what David said rings true. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth, even to the Aztecs. So maybe particularly to the Aztecs. So if you're an Aztec, you have the light of creation. If you're an Aztec, you have the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of your consciousness. Now, if you respond to that light, you will receive more light. The real issue, again, and I want to emphasize this so you get it, the real issue is not that you can't respond. It is that you won't respond, and if you won't respond, then you are held culpable. But if you do respond, God will continue to reveal himself to you. He can do that in a lot of different ways. He can do that through a missionary coming to the Aztecs, or he can do that in a non-normative way. He does not need human agency. He condescends to use human agency. So the real issue is, are you responding after light? If someone is sincerely seeking after light or seeking after the one who created, God is not going to hold him up on some kind of a technicality.
Right. Okay. So that's what's always kind of been on my heart for them that were long ago. I'm talking about the ones from long ago. And, you know, it's always on my heart, you know, these people loved creation. They named people after God's creation, the streams or the hawks in the sky or whatever. You know, I just thought, how could somebody like that be hellbound? You know.
Well, and perhaps when we get to the great assize, we will find that they were in great numbers not hellbound at all. Perhaps many did seek after the light of creation and then the light of conscience and find the light of Christ. Again, the real issue is to respond to the light that you have as opposed to rejecting the light that you have. You look at the Old Testament, and the Old Testament characters like Abraham did not have the light that you do, Andy, did not have the light that I do. But yet they were friends of God, and they looked forward, although as through a dimly lit room, to the coming of a Redeemer. So Abraham, though he was the patriarch of patriarchs, did not have the kind of knowledge that you have. but he looked forward again through types and shadows to a coming Messiah. He responded to light, and the Bible designates him a friend of God. We're coming to a station break. We'll be back at the other side of the break with more answers to your questions. But let me say one thing. I love what Andy said. His heart goes out for Aztecs. But look, your heart does not need to go backward to the Aztecs. It can go forward to people who even now do not have the light of Christ. One of the things we're doing at the Christian Research Institute is causing our light to shine around the world. Just a few weeks ago, witnessing to a Buddhist in Cambodia, there's someone that has an opportunity to respond to the gospel, and God sent me to that person to communicate the love, the grace, the truth that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. We'll be right back. Please don't touch that dial.
Atheist evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins says, "The universe could so easily have remained lifeless. It's an astonishing stroke of luck that we are here. But were we really just incredibly lucky?" Illustra Media's new film, Origin, demonstrates it takes far more than luck to account for the more than 8 million species of living organisms on planet Earth. Life on Earth bears every indication of having been designed by a creator for a purpose. Receive the film Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff.
What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. With spectacular animation and leading-edge research, Illustra Media's new film, Origin, examines a question that has baffled science for centuries. How did the first life arise at a moment in time when there was no life of any kind? It's common today to hear the claim that simple chemistry without direction or plan explains how life began. But the film Origin exposes the absurdity of such a claim and reveals a molecular universe of extraordinary biological engineering that points clearly to intelligence and mind. Receive Origin on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, CRI support team, a very important group of people. Our work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without them. Support team members undergird and strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches around the globe, equipping fellow believers all over. We need at least 20 or so members by the end of the month to reach our goal and to become a member of CRI support team and help change our world. All you need to do is go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letters CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Terry, listening in Lawrenceville, Georgia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Hank. Good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I've got a son-in-law who's an atheist, does not believe. He believes in evolution. I've been talking to him, you know, with gentleness and respect, you know, as Peter says, and as you often say, trying to share with him my faith and the illogic approach that Dawkins and Darwin took in their work, and have not had any success. And I was wondering, I heard you talking about this new film from Illustra Media. Is that something that would be good for a person who is a true atheist and just has no real knowledge of the Bible?
I think it'd be fantastic, because one of the things that the film does is it speaks without preaching. In other words, just watching the film, you intuitively recognize that there is no other explanation for the complexity of life other than a designer. And if you follow truth wherever it leads, that truth will inevitably lead you in the direction of an uncaused first cause, as opposed to the untenable notion that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life creates metaphysical realities like ethos or mores, or even sex, which is not only physical but metaphysical as well.
Right. Well, and I think something that's not preachy and that approaches it from a scientific perspective may be something he might listen to, because, you know, I've tried the preaching part of it, and that's just not made any impact. So maybe this kind of approach will be a big help.
Well, I think it's a fantastic help, and there are a lot of people that have watched these films from Illustra Media and seen the tapestry of life and recognized intuitively there's something going on here that cannot be explained by simple chance, can't be explained by the kind of, well, outlandish ideas that are being proposed, like directed or undirected panspermia. The answers that are given today are simply unsatisfying. And I think that as you watch this film, and it's only about 48 minutes, you watch this film, that becomes apparent. But it doesn't become apparent because you're pushing an agenda, but you're actually just looking at complexity and recognizing there is no way that this just happened.
Do you recommend this? I think what you say, this one's called Origin. Is there anything else you would recommend that I buy from you that would go along with it, sort of hand in hand?
Well, I mentioned a book that we were also promoting this month, and I felt a little bad as I talked about it at the beginning of the show, recognizing that I probably haven't talked about it enough because it's an absolutely incredible book. It's written by Douglas Axe, and it's called Undeniable: How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life Is In Fact Designed. On a personal level, I've written a book called The Creation Answer Book, which answers all kinds of questions that may be in the heart and mind of an atheist. So we have a lot of resources available. All of them are available on the web, or you can just hang on and we can get them out to you.
Okay. Well, switch me over to one of your folks. Let me make a donation and get those two you mentioned.
Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you, man.
You know, I think so often about what it takes to believe that hippo-like animals evolved into whales. It takes such an enormous leap of faith, and yet so many have taken that leap of faith uncritically, without really considering the leap they've taken. Simply put, extant fossil transitions are scant. And as such, belief in the evolutionary development of physiological wonders like blowholes, sonar, diving mechanisms, it takes a commendable amount of Darwinian devotion, devotion that no one should have, because it is not in concert with facts. It is against the tide of evidence. Molecular evidence, for example, appears to be at odds with fossil evidence. Fossil similarities point to hippos as first cousins of pigs. Molecular similarities position hippos as first cousins to whales. But in either case, it takes substantial faith to suppose that those similarities provide an adequate basis for neo-Darwinianism. The notion that unguided, purposeless processes could transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, and that in a mere matter of 10 million years, takes more faith than anyone on the planet should be able to muster. It's one of the points that I make in the Creation Answer book. It is available. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Peter in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you very much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've been listening to you now for like 2 years. I came up from Africa.
Ah.
Yeah.
What part of Africa?
Pardon me?
What part of Africa?
Nigeria.
Oh, Nigeria.
Yeah, I live in Nigeria. I also studied at state in South Africa.
Huh.
Cape Town, yeah.
Well, I've spoken in Cape Town a number of times, and Durban and Johannesburg, and actually speak Afrikaans.
Oh, Afrikaans.
Yeah, ik kan je verstaan.
Okay. That's about what I can say in Afrikaans. Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you for all you do. I have a situation here. I came out here like 12 years ago, been back and forth, but my wife left me or divorced me, and nice person. I decided to just stay back to be in the life of the kid. Then I listened to you, and I know what you normally will say about reconciliation and all of that. Now, I was just preparing to see how I could settle down after 8 years. And a group of pastors came from her church that began to talk to me about reconciliation and all of that. And it's difficult for me, you know. And to my knowledge, she's gone out with two people that I know, and I made my own mistakes too here and there, and I get to know more about you and more about things of God and be serious about God. But now I don't know how to deal with this, how to go about the reconciliation they're talking about. And that's the reason for my call specifically.
Sure.
You know, that.
Yeah, Peter, here's the thing, and I think it's beautiful the way you've expressed yourself. The issue for you and I or anyone else in interpersonal relationships is always the word willing. We need to be willing to reconcile, but we also need to be pragmatic or practical about these things because it always takes two for reconciliation to take place. It takes someone who is willing to forgive and someone who is wanting to be forgiven. Without both in the equation, reconciliation doesn't happen. Your responsibility as a Christian man is to be willing to reconcile. And the reason we're willing to reconcile is simply we look at what we have been forgiven, and then the debts of others start to look small by way of comparison. Now, again, you can't force the reconciliation. Only if her heart is open can reconciliation take place. And when that takes place, there's something that is beautiful in terms of testimony to the world. The world sees the marriage as a microcosm of Christ and his bride, the church. Christ loved his bride and gave himself up for his bride. And so we as well must do that for our loved ones. So as long as you have, Peter, a heart that is willing to reconcile, you have done your part. Now the rest is up to the Holy Spirit. If your estranged wife ends up being in a situation where she closes the door to reconciliation, then 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that you're not bound in that circumstance. But if the door for reconciliation is open, your heart, or at least you ought to pray for a willing heart that the Lord would make that a reality, because he can give you a love that is far greater than you can imagine, a love that is not based on flimsy feelings, but rather a love that is grounded foundationally in what is called commitment.
Wow. Thank you very much. But my situation here is I decided to stay here in Canada to help with the kid. You know, I didn't go into any union like having a girlfriend or so, but she did have two guys that I'm aware of and some structures on people that have helped her to take that route, you know. But now they're coming to ask me if I would take her back, if I could reconcile with her, forgiving her. You know, she's a nice person. We have kids, six kids together. And but for me, you know, like, how am I sure, like it's true, it's genuine? What should I do to, you know, like, I don't want to get hurt again. It's
right.
Very difficult.
You know, here's the thing, and I'm very, very sorry that I can't continue the conversation, only as you can probably hear from the music, I'm coming up to a hard break, and it is heartbreaking for me in these kinds of circumstances not to do everything that I possibly can for you. I'm willing to do that, but recognize that I'm an electronic voice and I'm pointing you to a healthy, well-balanced church where people can give you wise and substantial information and counsel. I'm going to be back in just a few moments with the quote of the day. Peter, my prayers will be with you.
To know where everything came from is to know where we came from. And where we came from has everything to do with who we are. And who we are has everything to do with how we ought to live. Wise words from molecular biologist and intelligent design theorist Douglas Axe. Find out more about how cutting-edge science demonstrates why our intuition that living things are designed is absolutely correct in Dr. Axe's new book, Undeniable. How biology confirms our intuition that life is designed. Without exaggeration, Undeniable might be considered the best book ever written on intelligent design. Receive the hardcover book, Undeniable, as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.
Have you ever thought that maybe living things appear to be designed because they are, in fact, designed by a creator for a purpose? In the book, Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed, molecular biologist Douglas Axe argues that the key to understanding our origin is the design intuition. This is the common sense belief held by all humans that any task requiring knowledge in order to accomplish the task can be accomplished only by someone who has that knowledge. For the ingenious task of inventing life, this knower can only be God. Receive Undeniable, How Biology Confirms Our Intuition That Life is Designed as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. The issue of origins, Hank Hanegraaff often says, is not just an apologetics issue, it is the apologetics issue, because how you view your origins will ultimately determine how you live your life. That's why for Christians weary of the arguments of scientific materialists, there's good news. Illustra Media's new film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, combines stunning photography and imagery with rock-solid science and scholarship to show that we are the products of an infinite intelligence beyond human fathoming, and far from accidental and purposeless. Receive Origin on DVD as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Catherine, listening in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Catherine.
Oh, hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
Sorry, Hank. My question is, do you know any evolutionists who believe in Jesus? And then I revised it to be, do you know any evolutionary atheists who believe? Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you. So,
sorry.
But
then I changed it. Sorry. Do you know any evolutionary atheists who have come to believe in God without coming to faith in Jesus?
Well, yes.
You see, I think that we're looking deeper into darkness, right? We've been doing this debate for millennia. And I think God just doesn't want people to believe. The heavens do manifest his glory, but it seems that people don't see that until they actually come to faith.
Well, you know, people come to faith in different ways. God, through the wooing of the Holy Spirit, makes himself manifest, and we have the opportunity to reject or respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. But certainly there are those that believe that there is a God without believing that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, in my own conversion process, I first looked at the evidences that God exists. I then looked at the evidences for Jesus being God. And of course, the greatest evidence of that is the immutable fact of resurrection, that Jesus Christ had the power to lay down his life and the power to take it up again, thus demonstrating that he's God in human flesh. There are many other convincing proofs, but that is the apex of all proofs for the deity of Jesus Christ. And then you look at whether the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice. So there is a transition that happens in the lives of many people where they go from believing that there has to be an uncaused first cause, recognizing Christ as the uncaused first cause and the Bible as a reliable truth, a reliable source for faith and practice. Now, having said that, there are many people that come to faith in Christ without going through that process. But inevitably, all of us need to recognize that we have been left not with blind faith, but faith in irrefutable fact, so that our faith is not just an odd predilection on our part, or we choose to believe in Jesus Christ as opposed to believing in Buddha or Lao Tzu or some other religious leader. We believe in Jesus Christ because the evidence points to him as the only one who can reconcile God and man, because he is, in fact, the God-man.
Well, I hear you. I agree with you. I think that if there is an issue on, you know, design and whether there's intelligent design and whether scientists will believe or not believe or atheists believe or not believe, I guess it's ultimately God's domain.
Well, it is God's domain, but he uses human agency. I'm sorry for overspeaking you there, but it is God's domain, but he uses human agency. He has condescended to use human agency in the process.
Right.
So we have to do our part.
I wonder, I mean, the spirit of prophecy, right? Our testimony is the spirit of prophecy. And so it seems that if believers, or, I mean, I know that you have other shows on this too, but if believers testify, and obviously they're testifying as to their faith in Jesus, right, then, and the kingdom of God, then, you know, if they're testifying to atheists or to evolutionists or to anyone, then it's that God uses. He uses that, I view it as a negative, right? If they get turned away by the atheist or the scientist and they don't want to believe, God uses that negative and he brings that person to some form of understanding. It's a process, and you know, all of us go through it throughout our life before we come to faith, it seems to me. But I just thought if people were to witness more to atheists, I know there was the earlier caller though that said he had talked to his brother-in-law ad nauseum and his brother would not come to faith, and if he listened to Origen, would it help him? So
here's the deal. I appreciate you bringing this out as you have. The issue always for me is that we are equipped, that we are always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. So I have not the burden of converting anyone. That is not my burden. If I take on that burden, I'm taking on a burden that is not mine. That is the province of the Holy Spirit. my responsibility is to be a useful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. In other words, testify not only by my lips, by what I know or what I say, but testify by my love and by my lips. So that's my responsibility. Ultimately, the responsibility of the Holy Spirit is to change the heart. Appreciate you calling in. You know, I almost forgot the quote of the day. I've been having so much time, so much fun answering questions on the broadcast. I forgot this this incredible quote of the day from Alexis de Tocqueville. This is from his famed book, Democracy in America. It was written in 1831, and I think you ought to focus on that 1831 as you listen to the quote. He said, "There is no country in the whole world in which the Christian religion retains a greater influence over the souls of men than in America. The Americans combine the notions of Christianity and liberties so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive the one without the other. Upon my arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. In France, I had almost always seen the spirit of religion and the spirit of freedom pursuing courses diametrically opposed to each other. But in America, I found that they were intimately united and that they reigned in common over the same country." So here you have Alexis de Tocqueville coming to America and seeing something in America that he did not see in France. But that was 1831. This is now. And the question that ultimately we have to ask is why? Why have things changed? And we all too often point the finger at the pagan and say it's because of the pagan. It's a function of the secularist, the materialist, the atheist, the evolutionist. But perhaps as we point the finger in that direction, we find the other four fingers pointing back at us. Perhaps it is because we have not been salt and light. And when the salt loses its saltiness, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. All of that a reminder that we have been left here for a reason. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Eugene, listening in New Jersey. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Look, my question is, before the fall, was there sin on the earth?
Well, before the fall, there was no sin on the earth in terms of human beings because Adam and Eve were the first to sin. They were the first human beings. But there was sin because remember, prior to the time of Adam and Eve, Satan rebelled and so did a third of the angels. So sin became a reality at that point. Sin spread to humanity as the result of Adam and Eve. They fell, and in them all humanity, their posterity fell.
So with that, now I understand that Lucifer sinned when he rebelled. So God didn't create sin, but he created the potential of sin.
That's exactly right. The operative word is potential.
Right. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you, Hank, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. We're almost out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So many people hanging on, and I am so sorry I can't get to your calls today. Hopefully you can call me tomorrow. Important calls, and of course these calls come in not just during the time of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but during the life of the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, and not only in the U.S. and Canada, but around the world. Questions need answers, not just for the sake of the answer, but so you can use the well-reasoned answer as an opportunity to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ brings to the human heart. Those answers going out around the world are fueled by people who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And so as we are so close to Thanksgiving, so close to closing out the year, we're asking many people to join CRI's monthly support team. Some people give $50 a month or $100 a month. Some give $25 a month or $20 a month. But many people standing shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth make a difference in the lives of people all around the world. And let me emphasize that, all around the world. It's exceptional, even this year, in what we have been able to accomplish by God's grace in terms of going global, and that is all over the place, fueled by those who are CRI support team members and those who support the ministry. Whatever you can do, be generous. Give as you have been given, and recognize that as you do, you're laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The resources we talk about you can find on the web at equip.org, or you can pick up the telephone, talk to our resource consultant standing by even as I speak and even when I'm done speaking. 888-7000 and the letter CRI. So long for now. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more answers to your questions.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. The new Illustra Media film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth, transcends science to touch the heart and mind of anyone who has ever pondered the deepest mystery of human experience. Where did we come from, and why are we here? As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Or just visit online at equip.org. Equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. What's left of a theory of origins once it has been conceded that it doesn't explain how things originated? Fact is, chemistry and chance simply cannot account for the origin of biological life. And atheists and agnostics who think that life emerged from blind, undirect natural processes must come to grips with this reality. For Christians eager to defend the rationality of a faith under relentless siege by scientific materialism, don't miss the withering intellectual firepower of Illustra Media's film, Origin, Design, Chance, and the First Life on Earth. As thanks for your gift and support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the film Origin on DVD. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches.
or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.